Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zoe and Beadle are live in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. On the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row at Mall of America. This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at Rahm Diamonds, 617-779-0985. Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back, ESPN analyst, is going to be with us coming up at 11:20. We'll talk about the game with him. Also, might have some other guests along the way today. We're working on a few. Can't tell you about anything going on, but we're working on a few. Couple balls in the air, Hardy, as they like to say.
Yep.
Couple balls in the air. We'll see what develops here on Radio Row.
You like balls in the air, Hardy?
That was kind of the joke. You know, that he had kind of already said that.
Yeah, you
did your
it.
Chuckle. Yeah. You took your joke.
It's
your
pretty little up. Look at you.
I love it. I squeeze it. Ah, I killed my joke. Just leave it. Let it live.
Should have left you at home.
Kind of wish you would have.
Oh, hey, if you feel like you should have been left at home, it's not because of this show.
Not
That's
at
all
home,
I'm gonna say.
Just the hotel. Just the hotel where he did leave me this morning. Oh, I forgot
That's
about
our,
you.
Our road home.
Yes.
The road home.
It's starting to feel like home.
It is. I'm starting to really, you know, and when you get to the point where you start knowing which channels on the TV are which stations.
19th HBO.
Yeah, it's been like you've got a problem.
25 is NFL Network, 30 is the Weather Channel.
That's right.
Yeah. That's when you're like, okay, I've been
21
here
21 is A&E.
Well, Zoe's got the numbers thing in his head. He can remember numbers.
No, it's
numbers.
Not. That's ESPN 2.
All right, what's channel 2? Do you know?
I don't go down that low. I've
CBS.
Not watched
2
local.
Is PBS. Yeah. Oh. 3 was
CBS.
CNN.
What?
3 was CNN. 5 was ABC. NBC here was, I believe,
10.
Fox was 9. I believe. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, yes, we've been here long enough to where we're starting to memorize.
You know how when we go to different markets, we always like to check out the local news, the quality of the local news?
Yeah.
Minnesota, Minneapolis, Twin Cities, not bad. Actually seem like they get their act together.
Why is New York so bad?
Listen, it's not Boston. I fully believe that Boston has the best local news in the country.
Why is New York so
bad? New York and L.A., it's very highly produced, but it's very fake and phony.
Yeah, and they put, like, really old people on, like, super old anchors, legends.
Yes.
It's weird.
So when we always go to other markets, we always check out the local news and see what it's like. And this market, pretty good. Decent quality.
Florida's
not,
my
not
favorite,
crap.
Though. I laugh the entire time. We're in Florida visiting my parents and that. You put it on, like, it's going to be a nice one. They're super cold front coming in today, guys.
Yeah.
High of 65.
Sure.
Yeah.
I saw a reporter from Maine yesterday outside the, please don't take that plate. I'm not yet done.
Were they wearing all red?
Yet.
I saw them over there.
She is doing the whole, like, camera setup herself, going in front of the camera, uploading the stuff. When who happens to saunter by?
Who?
A Maine reporter, and somebody comes by.
Tanguay?
Gary Tanguay. Very good.
Also stage.
Oh, my. He comes on. You know, I used to watch this station when I was a young lad. Oh, they were very, very
yeah, well, you know, Beetle, back in Rumford, we used to have a coat hanger at the back of the black and white TV. No clickers back then. You had to get up, turn the station. You know, had that knob for the volume.
They put them all back home. Is he doing stuff out here?
Is he still here?
I
did TV with him a couple of nights ago.
I saw him the other day. Like,
he gets sent home, too?
He looks so exhausted on Tuesday.
Well, I don't blame him for that. He's been on the road for 10 days.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
He's not a spring chicken. You know?
I saw him on the set the other day. Yes, they're putting him on out here.
Oh, back in Rumford. Oh, I got up early this morning. I did a radio hit. Oh, okay, Gary.
Wow.
Good job, Gary.
Good for you.
Let's go to Pete, who's in Lowell. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. What's up? Love you both,
hey,
by the way.
What's going on, bud?
Thank you, Pete.
Just a thought on that that Kraft question that he kind of avoided. The Patriots are better at deflecting than anybody in any sport, really. But if they answer every question straight away and only reserve the answers they don't want to give out for the questions that they're going to refuse, then people know that all right, that question is obviously a no or a yes, given the fact that they didn't answer it. So maybe he was just deflecting in order for that to be a question that you can't just assume is the wrong answer or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. It's because we're so used to them being so good at deflecting.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point. I think it's interesting, Pete. My only thing is these guys knew that question was going to be asked.
Of course they did.
They're the best ever at deflecting.
You're not sitting down this week.
I agree with Pete on that.
The ability to know that you're going to get asked that question.
Pete's right. The Patriots are better at giving you an answer without giving you an answer than anybody else. They are the best people in professional sports at saying something and really not giving you the answer yes or no or getting into the specifics.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good at doing it and then having you think they said something when they really didn't.
All right.
They're like next level smart on that front. And they just decided on this one, we're not going to get into that. We're going to pass on that particular question. I'm going to say no. Kip is in the truck. Hi, Kip.
Hey, you got me there? Can you hear me?
We got you, Kip.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I'm a little concerned, you know, with that Andrea Kramer question to Jonathan Kraft. If they're already saying that it's not up to Bill when Tom retires, they're ripping his legs out right from underneath him, and that's probably one of the reasons why he's got one foot out the door. It's the same thing with the Garoppolo trade.
Maybe. Could be.
That is true. That is the other revealing part of this, Kip, and it's a really good point you're making.
Jonathan quickly
but
jumped in.
They
question,
said it's up to Tom now.
Tom's earned the right to decide when he's done. Yeah.
Within reason, I think it's all understood, and it's not a semantics issue. You're talking about retiring. Yes, you can't.
He's not going to retire when he sucks, okay?
I don't think anybody would admit to forcing somebody into retirement unless you, I don't know, work for the post office
or
something.
There's an understanding between the two. The understanding is that if he's playing at the same level, you're not going to force him into retirement
just because we got the next guy sitting here
correct.
Who could be the guy for the next 10 years. That's the understanding. And I happen to agree with it. Because the number of unknowns and having the quote-unquote next guy sitting there, unless he's already proved himself with another team somewhere and you know he can play
correct.
At the highest level, he can do that. Everybody just assumes and still takes it under just the general assumption that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be phenomenal. Yes.
So far he has been.
He was good for a game and a quarter here, and he was good down the stretch in a lot of garbage time games for the 49ers. It's still not enough.
I thought it was interesting what Sims told us.
All right, but
yesterday.
Artie, is he capable of being a starting NFL quarterback?
Yes.
And is he capable of being better than the bottom half of the league?
Yes.
Is that a hard thing to actually obtain in this league? Hasn't that been proven? That just that, even the lowest level of the top 15, look at the Dolphins. Dolphins haven't found that in two decades.
Not when we had this conversation earlier in the season and we went through the list of starting quarterbacks and you said, would you have him start for your team? We said yes. How many times did we say yes?
A lot.
Like 18, 20 times.
Yeah.
There's only like a dozen bad quarterbacks in the league. So I'm not saying it's easy, Beetle, but it's not like there's a handful of guys that you would take and no one else would be acceptable. You take a look at a lot of guys right now, you're like, yeah, I could see him coaching a team or a quarterback in a team. Yeah, I could see him with a couple of years under Belichick being able to do a good job. Just right now, and I'm not speaking to any trend. I'm not speaking to any change in the way the these guys are being recruited or the way they come out of college. Just as it is right now in the NFL, there are more good quarterbacks than bad.
Merrill Hodge will join us coming up next on Radio Row. Right now, the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. John Feinstein says it is obvious that money is all that matters in the NFL, and I'm going to take a guess at this. I think he's referring to Thursday Night Football. Mm.
The home of the local call of the big game. Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour on Radio Row is brought to you by Rom Diamond, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Merrill Hodge is scheduled to join us at this time. We will keep an eye out for him. Not here at the moment, but we will see. Let's go to the phones. Joe is in Revere today. He's a big fan of Scott Zolak. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey. His phone's not working today. That's a shame, Joe. Let's go to Ryan in Chicago. Ryan.
Hey there. So everyone talks about Belichick and Brady potentially retiring and how Belichick always wanted to prove that he could win without Brady. What if Belichick were to hang it up and Brady sticks around? Can Brady carry the torch without Belichick?
Ooh. I like that reverse.
Ooh.
Good question.
Ooh.
Well, who's the next guy? Who's the next coach? Let me throw a name at you. Let me throw a name out there.
All right.
Jim Harbaugh comes back to the NFL and he becomes head coach of the Patriots. And he has Tom Brady. Could they make it work?
No.
Scott
nope.
Zolak.
Nope.
No.
No?
No.
Why?
No.
Why do you say no?
No.
Why? You don't think he was a good coach of the 49ers? Now, I know he's an epic pain in the butt.
No,
And he's a rather intense individual, but you don't think it could work if he came back?
I don't think it would work here.
Why? Why, you can't coach football in the
league? You're going to have at least, half the roster that's been here for a certain length of time.
Hold on a second. Let me challenge Zoe on this for a moment.
Okay.
You think Colin Kaepernick is worthless as a quarterback?
I do.
That coach got that kid to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for a year. And then you get film on him, and you saw that he's a half-filled thrower.
It doesn't matter, though.
Well, if he had a defense
he
that
used
would rip
that
your
kid to go to his Super Bowl.
If you think Colin Kaepernick is
rip your head off.
If you think Colin Kaepernick is garbage, then you should think Jim Harbaugh is a pretty damn good football coach.
Well, I do think
my point.
No, I said he's a good coach. But I remember when Parcells was here, and it's going to be part of that 30 for 30 night when you see it. The shock from Bill Parcells to Pete Carroll when we were still a good team, even though we still won games after that, it's a completely night and day different coaching style. You almost needed something that a guy that carried sort of that hammer like Parcells did to keep the train.
Isn't
going.
Harbaugh like total hard ass? Isn't that his MO?
Yeah,
total
but he's hard.
Isn't that sort of what Bill is?
Difference between a hard there's a, no that don't confuse hard ass with hard O, and he's a hard O.
Hard O.
Okay.
I don't think he's a hard. He'll come out and he'll have the T-shirt off and you know we're playing some catch and here I am in my khakis.
Okay,
with my
I'm not following
I'm,
here,
I'm
guys,
super
because
cool Joe
I look
coach.
I look at guys.
You know what I mean,
I look at guys like. That look like Julian Edelman, that look like Danny Amendola, that look like Tom Brady when they go out to Montana
right.
And they bro out. I look at a guy like Harbaugh and say, they all fit together great. And then we could make another documentary about it. In fact, we now have sitting with us in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair. A man who's very much involved in Tom versus Time. What is your title in Tom versus Time?
I'm the director.
Director.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get the right. I didn't know if it's producer,
really
executive producer.
Yeah.
Gotham Chopra is with us here on Radio Row in Minneapolis. So what's been the last couple of weeks as this has been rolled out? What's it been like for you?
I mean, it's been crazy. You know, we did not talk about it pretty much the entire time we were making it. But obviously anything Tom-related and then something that's actually so personal, and he's given so much access. I think the moment people start to hear about it and then see bits and pieces of it, it's sort of been overwhelming.
My favorite part is the Montana stuff. And, I talked to you last week, and I said, once you start watching it, you're 7 minutes, 8 minutes in, and then all of a sudden you got six more minutes of content coming.
Yeah.
And it leaves you wanting more. How much hits the floor, and how much, I mean, you've got to have so much in the can as to what you could go and pick from.
Yeah, I mean, we've been, you know, not every day, of course, but, like, especially during the off season, I traveled with him. I was in Asia with him and his son Jack for 6 or 7 days in China.
She did the Great Wall stuff with him.
Oh, yeah, I was there. And then, we came back. We went to Montana. We came back from China. We went to San Mateo to his parents' place. Then I was in Montana. Then I was in Costa Rica with him and the family. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's hours upon hours of raw footage. And there's a lot of pliability.
Whose idea was this?
I mean, I've known Tom for a couple of years, and I've been, you know, as a fan and as a sort of documentarian saying, hey, man, like, everything in the last 5 years, in my opinion, has been sort of historic. We should be capturing this. And he's sort of politely said, no, I'm not ready for it. But then this off season, and I think largely because of what was going on last season, the way this season started with the suspension, then the stuff with his mom off the field, the historic nature of the Super Bowl, it was like, hey, yeah, maybe we should be capturing this. And then turning 40 and everyone's saying, oh, you can't do this. Like, and you guys know Tom. I mean, it's like, oh, you don't think I can do this? Not only can I do it, I'm going to show you how I can do
it. How old are you?
I'm 41.
Okay, so you're about the same.
Yeah.
It does when you're watching it and you're filming it, what's the one thing that amazes you?
I mean, just how, well, one.
Being around him, I'm talking about. Yes. His aspect of life.
One, how open he is, how open he's been through this whole process, like how willing to sort of talk about all of these things. That has sort of been surprising to me. But also just Tom's commitment. It's a full-on lifestyle. There's no, like, off-season version, preseason version.
There's no switch, like, off or
no.
on. Like,
and
okay.
Even here, I mean, he's the same guy. He's not, you know, there's a certain mythology that, like, you become, you know, so focused and so, like, you don't see. No, he's, like, sort of the same guy. It's pretty remarkable.
Does he have final say over what gets in, what doesn't get in?
I mean, technically, yes, but he's been very collaborative, and there's never been anything I've put in that he's like, gee, you know, I don't want that in, or, you know, and I think I have a pretty good feel, you know, for what he's comfortable with and what he's not, so, yeah.
You used his voice and his voice in the documentary. Will they be receiving any sort of payment, residuals?
Are you guys union? I don't know.
Kind of.
Yes.
Fair use.
Yes.
Fair use. So that's no. Fair use means no.
That means we're not getting paid.
Do you know Mike Riley at all?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
There we go. So we got to the bottom of
he's
that.
He's in there a lot. Yeah.
Okay. I saw you last week on
the side. Hold on. Stop it, Zoe. How do you hold on? How do
you really want to waste 5 minutes on Mike Riley?
Yes, I do.
How does Deepak Chopra's son
I know this world a little bit, you know, I've been around it, so I know the voices. I don't know, you know, personally, so yeah.
Okay. All right, that's better. That makes me feel a little better.
Don't you feel a little bit like he's gotten too much play? He's gotten too much play. It's disproportionate.
I don't know. It's a competitive market, you know.
How much resistance have you gotten from the Patriots? Now, I mean, I saw guys with equipment on the sidelines last week, down there with Ben Rowitz, you're walking around, and you pretty much could film whatever you want.
Well, the time, and just to cut in, I'm sorry, Zoe, the time story when this was first kind of being announced sort of insinuated that the team wasn't on board. It didn't say that directly, but it insinuated that.
Yeah, and that's not really been the case. So, you know, the Patriots have actually been very supportive in the sense of, like, providing credentials. I just bumped into Mr. Kraft, and he's been aware of it for, you know, pretty much since the beginning and been supportive. But I would say also, like, we have been very sort of. I'm a Patriots fan. I get it. I know what the Patriot way is. I know the coach, you know, and all.
So you
don't
know
interfere.
The boundaries.
Yeah. And like, so when I'm on the field, I'm kind of there because I come to and from the games. But we've actually not been filming because there's Patriots, but there's also the NFL, and like, you don't mess with the NFL.
Correct.
So, you know, as soon as, like, you know, the game starts, you know, I'm waiting around for Tom to sort of go back.
So, what is the plan going forward? Do you have episodes ready to go post Super Bowl that are different based on a win or a loss? Is it just going to roll out regardless of what happens?
So we have 5 episodes that are pretty much in the can that are done. One's coming out today, and then another one's coming out on Sunday. And then there will be a 6th episode that will, be a sort of product of whatever happens on Sunday. And I'll hook up with Tom, you know, next week or the following. And that one will take a few weeks, but that's it. I mean, you know. That's it for now. This isn't some ongoing series or anything like that.
Was there any plans for you guys to be in the house last week, and then the injury to the hand happened, and Tom said, no cameras, we're shutting this week down? Or were you part of last week?
No, I was around last week. You know,
so you were around.
Yeah, I was around. So I mean, that happens.
I think after the fact, there will be no secrecy about the injury.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, like we still don't know how it technically exactly happened. And the way and the manner of what he told me, there was a couple hairy hours there that Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Because, shoot, I really don't know if I'm going to be able to play in 4 days.
Yeah.
So that's going to resonate on film.
Yes. And okay, I joked with Tom. I was like, man, like, you're really just doing a lot of work for me, like, just introducing conflict and drama.
Man.
And, you know, I always deliver, G, is what he told me. So,
in terms of the rollout and timing of this, we were talking about this yesterday. Do you guys have control over when it was going to drop, when it was going to start, and is it Super Bowl week? Because naturally, there's going to be the most amount of people interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of back and forth. Not, I wouldn't say negotiation, but just, like, when would it be ready? And there's no question that, like, you know, Facebook, they're not dummies over there. They knew this, you know.
This is big.
I mean, we all kind of, it was a big bet on whether or not, you know, the Patriots would make it. And trust me, I was sitting there at the AFC Championship 2 weeks ago thinking in the third quarter, like, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do?
Right.
But, you know, it sort of worked out. So, no, I think this has sort of been the goal up until 10 days ago. It wasn't 100% it was going to drop right now.
So if Tom had said, hey, guys, let's wait a couple of weeks. Let's wait until after the Super Bowl. I don't want to have this out there. And obviously, there's been things to deal with after the fact and sort of in the commentary about things in the show. And we've covered that this week with the comments about his daughter. Could he have pushed this off and said, let's do this after the Super Bowl?
I wasn't really part of that discussion. It was Tom's agents. I don't even know how involved Tom was in any of that sort of stuff. So part of the negotiation with Facebook. But, what I knew was the content. And I knew, there wasn't all this stuff that, it's the Patriots. So there's always drama around the Patriots. So all this stuff that was going on during the season, it was never really part of the story. I mean, most of what you guys have seen and what we're talking about is off-season stuff. And so, yeah, there's the release and that just creates news. But I knew that in the content there wasn't really anything highly controversial. So I was not so worried, and Tom wasn't particularly worried about that.
And there's a unique marriage you're dealing with here, too. And I've talked to him about her. There's certain things you can and can't.
Oh, an actual marriage.
Yes. I'm talking about Tom's marriage. You really can't take personal pictures of her because there's rights and stuff. Do you have to watch with her? And there's certain, does she really have a big hand and say, I like this shot of me? Or
no, she's been amazing.
Yes.
And, she's... I'm not going to lie, I was nervous about that, I'm shooting it half the time, and I'm not some cinematographer necessarily, but again, I think...
She's a little more aggressive than him.
She's
been around both.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the vibe around this whole project has been very sort of family and trusting,
right.
And she's been just awesome, to work with. And actually, this is kind of her world, so she can look at something and give you really great advice and guidance, yeah.
Gotham Chopra is with us. He is the director of the Tom vs. Time series on Facebook. One thing completely unrelated to it, one of the things I read about you is that you knew Michael Jackson, and at some point... You were in contact with him when he was writing an album, and you served as, I'm trying to remember what it was, like a lyrical advisor to him. What song did you help advise lyrically? I don't think it was Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mama Kusa.
No, it was before my time.
That was lifted from another song anyway, but what did you talk about? What did you help him with?
Remember the time?
Yeah, it was the history album. So there was Stranger in Moscow.
Big HIS story.
It was, so I was in college at Columbia. Michael used to live at the top of the Four Seasons, and this was pre-internet and everything. So I used to come down from Columbia with a thesaurus and a rhyming dictionary and sort of sit with him.
Wow.
And just crank away.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
How have we not known about... Why did it take a Facebook film about Tom Brady for us, for the world to know more about...
Yeah, you guys think that there's secrecy around the Patriots, trust me.
How have you had relationships with such famous people? By chance?
I grew up with a somewhat famous father.
Dad helps. Dad helps somewhat.
Yeah, but that's not everything. There's been a lot of people that have.
He's a very calming influence. There's a lot of negativity around sports talk radio. I feel 44% better with Gotham just sitting here with us.
I tell Tom and Alex all the time, I'm like, all this stuff everyone calls you unconventional. I mean... Kidding me? It took this long for you guys to figure this out?
You've got Alex's personality. Yeah.
Alex is amazing. I mean, I'll tell you, that's been... I've formed friendships and relationships with everybody in this universe, but Alex is such a great guy, and I think everybody knows of all the work he does, all the pliability and stuff he does, but there's a mental and emotional aspect to Alex's coaching and work with Tom that I find just... really cool.
When this was announced, I made an assumption about it. My assumption was that this was going to be a promotional vehicle for Tom and Alex for their clinic and for the methods of Alex. And I've actually been surprised that it has been less about that than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Was that ever a conversation with either Tom or Alex beforehand that this was going to be that? Or was that really not a factor?
I mean, I was aware of it, but, that was something... I don't say I was concerned about it, but I was conscious of. But the truth is, actually, the iron... So TB12 and the work he does with Alex and everything is such a part... It's a, again, going back to that 24/7 lifestyle, actually to navigate around it would have been inauthentic. You know, it's every day. Like, whether it's at the TB12 facility or in his house, he's doing that work with Alex. Or when we travel to Asia or Montana, you know, Alex is there. And or sometimes Tom does it himself.
Which sort of goes back to that opening talk with him where he's saying, I've committed my life to this. Yeah. So if you're going to do a behind-the-scenes look at Tom Brady, Tom Brady's life is his level of commitment to these methods, which, as you're telling us right now, it's 24/7. It's never ending. This isn't just something he talks about and promotes. It's something he's actually doing
The people around him. The people around him are on it too. Like Kevin does it also. Brady.
Kevin, Ben Rose, you guys know
Ben,
very
Ben
well.
Ben looks like a different guy. I remember Ben from 4 years ago. He was a little fat, little stump.
We call him Fat Ben.
He
we look
fat
at that
Ben.
Picture.
Oh, Ben is not fat.
Not now.
You go back and you watch him running with Brady on the beach 4 years ago, like out in Santa Monica, when Tom's trying to do the training. And Ben was like his little workout partner. Like, who was that little stump? That was Fat Ben.
Fat Ben is not positive. That's negative. That's a very negative nickname.
Yeah.
So this has to be the most viewed thing that you've done. I know you did like a Kobe documentary and you've worked on other stuff. So this has to be the most watched thing. Everybody's watching these things. What do you do next?
I don't know.
You gotta come up with something good.
Gotta come up with something good. I'm just trying to get this one done. I am working on something else with Showtime right now that LeBron is a part of. And so I gotta kind of put this to bed and kind of get back on that a little bit. But that's interesting. And then
you'll have footage of him carrying around the same book for 6 months that he's trying to finish.
Yes. different guys. Very different guys. But same level of commitment.
Two of the greatest in their field to ever play.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's got to be fun doing your job.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I pinch myself. My wife is always like, so wait, are you getting paid for this or are we paying for it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, does Facebook pay you? Does Tom pay you as a collaborator on this?
No,
do you pay him?
It's a Facebook production, so we have a production budget. But it's important to me to like be partners with Tom, not to, quote, working for Tom. So, you know, we have a budget and, you know, I stick pretty close to the budget, but, you know.
So you guys all get paid from Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, we have a production budget, and then we sort of work it out, like, within that. Yeah.
So Tom, how long did it take Tom to sort of trust you to say, you know what, and not many people get inside? How long did that take from a relationship standpoint?
Well, it's taken on a new level, I'd say, over the last year or since April. Yeah. Started working on this, but I've known him. I mean, we've a lot of the conversations we're having on camera now are conversations we've had before, just, you know, less formally.
I've got one final question for you. In episode 2, which I think is the best one, do you have a favorite episode?
That's funny. I mean, because I'm a football fan, episode 2, because it's so, like, inside the mind of a madman. But I will say episode 5, which is coming out Sunday, is probably my favorite.
Okay. Jim Louth, our producer, just reminded me to ask you this. When Tom is in the car after the Carolina loss and he is venting about we're the Patriots and we're just going to roll out the helmets and we think we're going to win, the subtitle says he's talking to Josh McDaniels. Who is he on the phone with? Josh told us the other day he didn't think it was him.
No, it was Josh. I mean,
I told you.
I thought it was Josh.
Lied.
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, look,
it's not going to come up on the damn screen. It's
he misremembered.
The subtitle says Josh, that he's talking to Josh. I thought it was Josh without having seen the subtitle.
Yeah.
And then
I'm pretty sure
others
it's Josh.
Have said maybe
I mean,
it was
you know,
his dad.
I know.
See, the problem was Josh didn't watch. He told us he didn't. He hadn't seen it. He's so busy. He hasn't seen it.
He did not believe it was him.
Yeah, but he's like, I think Josh is in protective.
Well, you know, one thing Tom does is he leaves. I mean, this is not the case there, but he leaves voice memos. He loves.
And we saw that earlier
memos.
In the episode about the play and Gronkowski.
Yeah,
and what they
I call
to
them
change.
Like these self detonating voice memos. Like he leaves them, but then they like. They go away in 2 minutes.
So it's like Snapchat.
He calls
disappears
Josh,
into the ether.
His dad, some of his, he checks in with teammates, like with Gronk after last week. You know, he checks in to see how guys are doing.
We've
and
been
stuff
trying
like
to get
that.
Senior on, and Tom's like, you're not getting him on. He's like banned him from doing anything. It's like, let's put him on
does
the
he make
show.
An appearance, Tom Brady Sr.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, in the episode that comes out today.
Today,
because he's good when you get him
he's
going.
Amazing.
He's good.
He's great up in the suite.
They're coming fast and furious now. Yeah. Just
yes,
had
they
one
are.
A couple of days ago, one today, and then one on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Very good.
Thanks, guys.
Gotham Chopra.
Thank you.
He is the
this
director
cool. Thank you.
Of Tom versus Time. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's watching it. And we appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
Zolak and Bertrand, we are live from Radio Row in Minneapolis. We'll send it on over to Hardy. Get a check of the headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Super Bowl week continues here on Radio Row. Rob Gronkowski did practice yesterday, still not completely cleared through the NFL concussion protocol. More from Radio Row coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics over the Knicks, 103-73. Terry Rozier, the triple-double, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Next up, Atlanta comes to the Garden tomorrow night. Tonight at the Garden, it's the Bruins playing host to St. Louis. We'll get the latest from Judd Surratt and Bob Beer, starting with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, hosting guests for the big game. Your party isn't complete without a trip to Big Y World Class Market. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
The Mall Food Court, a hotbed of reheated pizza, is now a hotbed of sports talk. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Couldn't have picked a better Michael Jackson song to play coming back than this, Tom.
Well, maybe this is one of the ones that got
that's the one he named.
On.
What do you mean this is the one he made
from the history album?
He named it.
Victory.
He named this song.
So, in your face.
Collaborated on all of them, you know?
Not every single song. He named a couple. It was one of them.
This one sucks.
Okay, you know what? Well, then get Gotham back in here. You know sit down the chair and tell him you think his song sucks.
It's not his song. It's Michael Jackson's song. Yeah. It's a dead-ass song.
Kind of his song.
That's what it is.
A little bit his
dead.
Song.
Yeah, nothing gets you amped up for the segment more than this.
All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate your work back there. Thank you, Tom.
Brutal. Special big game Feed the Fan Thursday right now, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985 will score a $200 Stop and Shop gift card. That's a big one to fuel their big game party. StopandShop.com. Right now, it's caller 10. We'll win that gift card. Things are certainly busy here
this
on
crowd,
Radio Row.
I just tweeted, if you're listening to us, I just tweeted out a quick 13-second video just spanning what's taking place around us. So check it out on Twitter, at Scott Zolak.
Hey, Merrill Hodge had a little Central Time, Eastern Time confusion
I understand
in the
that.
Booking.
Totally understand.
So
that.
He's now going to join us at 12:20. 12:20 Eastern is when he will be on with us. So he's not blowing us off. He just was off by an hour. Zoe's guy, Terry Bradshaw, standing right behind us. Your guy is right there.
He looks good.
Yeah?
Yep. He's put on some weight, but he looks good.
A lot of quarterbacks in there. Just saw Doug Flutie walk by. He's here.
Flutie's good, dude. Just a little guy, though.
Sat at the same table as Trent Dilfer the other day. Seen a lot of quarterbacks here in town. A lot of QBs.
Mm.
I sit with Scott Zolak every day. What a hashtag blessing that is.
Hashtag
Hardy.
Blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Zach, who's in New Hampshire. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Yo, Zoe.
What up?
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Belichick would have traded that first-round pick for Brandon Cooks if he knew in the back of his head there was no way he was going to keep Jimmy G?
Good question. And if you couldn't hear that, Zoe, the question was, would Bill Belichick have given up a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks had he known he would later be trading Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. Because you're doing it to build, you know, the repertoire around Brady. You're still going out to get a burner. It's something you didn't have. You got Amendola. You've got Edelman. You probably have pretty good intel that maybe Malcolm Mitchell's knee isn't as good as we thought it was going to be. That I need to go out and get an impact fast guy on the outside. Plus you had the joint practices and you kind of know what the player is. So he did some study on him.
It's sort of an unfair question.
I think he still
would
do the deal. I think he's
well,
still
it's sort of an unfair question because if he knew that he was going to be trading Jimmy Garoppolo, he would have done that in the offseason and would have gotten first-round picks and then could have flipped one for Brandon Cooks.
Maybe they thought, boy, first six games, Tom is going to come out, throw 10 picks, and just look like crap, and it never happened. And you got guys injured, and Brady actually elevated the other guys. And your plan really got screwed up. That's what happened.
Well, it sort of goes back to, does Bill Belichick trust guys in their 40s?
No, he should.
And for a guy who's been in the game as long as he's been, my answer is he likely doesn't.
Yeah, and I mean,
he likely believes that the drop-off in play for Tom Brady or anybody else in their 40s will happen, and it will happen quick when it does happen.
It's amazing. And the guy that was just sitting with us, last guest, Chopra, Gotham Chopra, he's documenting what takes place every single second of that guy's day, and that's what he said. He said, the thing that's impressive is there's no off switch. Man, when we were playing, and when I played 9 years in this league. But when you left that building, it's feet up. We're going to Applebee's, have some chicken wings. What else you got? You want to go out tonight? Let's go out. We'll go out four nights this week. And eventually you burn out. Your body can't keep up with that. But Brady's so freaking whacked. That's what it, I mean, it's maniacal. I'm going to, you're challenging me with time, and you're trying to get people to replace me in it, and it's going to drive me. And I'm gonna go psycho on your ass. And that's what he's doing. Like, it's nonstop, round the clock. Rub it out. Let's go. Give me my hydration. Do you see him walking around at the press conferences? You see that bag he carries? It's his whole hydration system. I did stuff in the offseason with him. This is back in February and March. Down at the casino.
Bag of water.
And there's a guy with him. You laugh at the bag of water, but it's a cloudy fluid that he he drinks every 5 to 15 minutes. And he's handing him it constantly. And it's like round-the-clock hydration. It's crazy. Like, how much does this guy pee?
A lot.
Or maybe, I don't know, man. Because I've asked him. He's like, that's not as much as you think. Does your body just continue to hold that water? I don't know.
I've asked him, and he said, I'm not comfortable answering that question.
Well, you should have said, Tom, how do you know how much I think? Try not to.
Yeah, try not to. Eventually, you can only think so much, you know?
Dave's in Boylston. Dave.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know it's 46 degrees back home, and I wanted to know, are you jealous of us?
I am jealous of us.
Oh, God. I went on with him today back home. Wiggy. Hey,
how did that go? Did you bring up the jealous of us?
Yes, well, they did.
Oh, okay.
They kept replaying it.
Good, good, good.
T-shirts are being printed, I guess, as we speak. Yeah. What's up?
My real question is, and forgive me if you already covered this, but I'm just curious if Gronk has to be cleared at a certain time or by a certain time, or can it go right up to game day? Thanks.
Today's Thursday.
No. Today's Thursday. Yeah. Today's Thursday.
He's got to get cleared by today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They have to see that he has the ability to take contact and go. I mean, I know it's reported he was in a red jersey yesterday and that, but I think he put it on once the team period started, but all the footage I saw of him warming up, he had the big brace on it. He looks full go to me, guys. He really does.
So we don't have anything to worry about?
This is not a team thing. I think that he's in the hands
so
of the
So can I ask you
guy.
This on air? This is embarrassing.
Sure.
Who is the guy right there?
I have
know
no
his
clue.
Name. No, I think he's a former. Is it Jared Allen?
It is Jared Allen.
Okay.
Good call.
I'm thinking I have the name on my
former
tip of
Viking.
My tongue.
Yep,
I'm like,
former Viking.
Who is that? Who
Four
is that? I'm like, I know this guy.
Right?
It's Jared Allen. It just hit me.
Good call.
It hit me right after I asked
I was going to go with Connor Barwin.
I couldn't come up with
his name. He looks like Connor Barwin,
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Definitely Jared Allen.
Yeah, he's too big to be Connor Barwin.
Jared Allen is the guy.
Good
That's
call,
definitely
Peter.
Who it is.
Nice call.
I'm like, I know this guy. I know this guy. He played for the Vikings forever. He's a really good player.
I'm glad I have my back to most of these people because
it's distracting.
I'm not claustrophobic, but I think I would start to get a little weirded out. We are in here like cattle.
Russell Wilson was just standing right behind you, by the way.
I don't know how any radio show in the middle of this melee would be able to function.
Who's Russ Wilson talking to here today? Who's he going to talk to?
Well, we're functioning.
Hey, what's his name on Seattle?
We got a nice room.
What's his name? What's that guy's name?
What's that?
Salk? You're going to talk to Salk.
Salk's not on radio, is he?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm just wondering
don't
if he's
know
here
man.
To talk
yeah.
yeah. Seattle guy's here to talk
Isn't
to Seattle.
Isn't he on with Brock Heward? Brock and Salk?
Hey,
Brock
you talk. Know, I'd get right to the real questions with him. You know, Russ, let's talk for a moment. Last play, Super Bowl 49. Do you regret it?
Oh, God.
You still pissed at Bev? You still pissed at Pete?
It's like called Halo.
You still mad about Halo?
Halo.
It's because called when it's, Halo.
When it works, it's great play.
It's a great call.
Are you still mad about that, Russ? 617-779.
You know, again.
0985. We've got a what?
Real quick, did anybody ever ask Russ Wilson? Because when he came to the sideline, he took his helmet off and looked at Pete and goes, what happened? Like, you just threw the ball. How do you not know what happened?
Were you not out there? Coming up next, we're talking to, I got my schedules. Let's get my schedules crossed. I was about to tell you that we were talking to someone who we're not talking to. Coming up next, we are talking to Steve Spagnuolo.
He's actually moved.
Oh.
11:35, which is 12:35 Boston time.
So Spagnuolo was later in the noon time hour.
Spagnuolo, 12:35.
No, I thought he was hiding. Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Okay. Hodge at 11 at 12:20, and Spagnuolo at 12:35.
Right.
That's what we got?
For now.
Okay. So we'll come back,
fluid,
and we'll be able to talk to
fluid,
you.
Data.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. That's how it goes when you got this many guests and there's so much stuff going on here.
Yeah.
But we will be talking to all these guys, including Deion Sanders, at 1 o'clock.
Right.
So we've got some great stuff on the way. From Radio Row in Minneapolis, it is day number 4. Things are very busy here. A lot of people here. Hardy is claustrophobic, and this hour of the show on Radio Row is brought to you by our good friends at ROM Diamonds.